welcome back to another episode of the Stay at Home Actor Podcast. I am your host, Sarah. I'm so glad you're joining today. Today is a fun bonus episode. It is the first of what I hope to be many, Pop Culture Happy Hour. And I can't wait. Today's Pop Culture Happy Hour episode will be, of course, about the recent Taylor Swift album, The Tortured Poets Department, with my dear, dear friend Ivy, who I believe is just a Taylor Swift expert. The reason I'm calling this bonus series Pop Culture Happy Hour is because the goal, the idea, the vision is it'll just be something fun where you want to kick back, relax, have a drink. It can be a glass of wine. It can be a glass of chocolate milk. It can be a cocktail, a beer, a sweet tea, a Vitalife, which is Aldi's off-brand Olipop. And I wish I said that because I was being sponsored, but I'm not. I just love them. So really the idea is just to have fun. This podcast is not all businessy. It is also fun. So that's the goal here. I had a lot of fun. The album, there's just so much to unpack. And so I hope you enjoy listening. Before we get to all of that, I thought to update with some recent actory things. I just went and shot my commercial that I booked, that the one that I had the weird callback for that I didn't think I would book, and then I did. And it was really, really fun. Alec works in real estate, and so he was able to be flexible and watch Rory while he worked, while I was able to go and do my commercial, which I'm beyond grateful for, obviously. He did cold calling at the house while she was here, and then when he needed to go to a property, he brought her along, and it was no big deal. So that was really amazing, and I'm so grateful. And the food on set was amazing. Aside from doing an actual commercial and having fun, meeting people, acting, being paid to act, which are all like the dream, it's also just really fun to get free food, okay? I love it. I love it. So that was really nice. And aside from that, my next acting thing update is I will soon start taking an acting class with casting directors Erica Breen and Kara Shute Rosenbaum. They're amazing casting directors and they're teaching various classes, and so I'm taking one of their classes soon. I'm really excited about it. I haven't been in an acting class in a minute since Rory's been born. I've been preoccupied, and I think it's super important to train consistently and do all those things, but I also think it's important to take breaks mentally when you need to, and so I've been doing that, and I'm glad I've been doing that. But now it's time, I feel, to kind of get back in it. So I'm really excited about that. I'll start that class this summer, so that should be fun. I do feel discouraged sometimes because I'm like, literally since I've decided to start doing this whole like acting thing for real professionally, trying to at least, I've literally like been hit with a pandemic, a historic double strike, writer strike, then the SAG strike, and oh yeah, now there might be a literal third strike this summer. And so I'm just, it's comical at this point. It's comical. So it's fine. I just, you can't control it. That's why you really have to have a life outside of it. You can't make too much of an idol of it. As much as you love it, and we do, that's why I wouldn't put off having kids, you know, because I'm just like, what the frick? You can't, who would have thought that three strikes, two for sure, a potential third one, within the span of not even a year. I mean, it was May, I guess, and then the summer, and then now this summer. I mean, that's insane. Anyways, that's why I'm having fun with this podcast. So All that to say, I had a blast chatting with my friend Ivy about things that don't make me sad, like Taylor Swift and her amazing music and her new albums and her love life, because I don't know, I'm crazy and I care about these things, and it's just fun. So you're going to love Ivy, and without further ado, here she is. I don't know, that was terrible. Without further ado, here she is. Why would I say that? I'm not going to re-record this, by the way. This is like my 10th time doing this. So let me try that again. All that being said, you are going to love my guest today, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. Without further ado, here is Ivy. I need people to know you're in your closet right now.
Yes, I'm in my closet because I have two little children who Daniel is watching. So let me just say that. And he's great. And I'm sure that they'll stay away. But they just tend to, Olivia, the younger one, tends to be the menace. So I can see her finding me. So I am in my closet, which explains my beautiful background. And this is going to be my time. So they shouldn't come in, but if they do, I know you get it. So I don't think they will, but
yeah, Alec is of course watching Rory. So I totally get that. And it'll be great. We can get their viewpoints on the album as well. if they join.
Right. I know.
Okay. Let me introduce you. You are the Taylor Swift expert. Can you go into the background of your fandom for the people?
Yes. I would not say expert, because there are those fans out there who, you know what I mean, they really, really get into the nitty-gritty, which is fun to read along, but I also am like, I don't know if I want to be quite that deep.
They're weird.
Right. Like there's a line of being a huge fan and then getting mine tattooed on your upper thigh. You know what I mean? Like, so I think I try to draw the line. But when I was in middle school, so did you graduate in 2013 or 2014?
2014. Why did I pause thinking about that? Definitely 2014.
I think the only reason I remember is because it was fresh. That's just like, and it was on my mind, because I would have not remembered. Anyway, I started listening to her, in middle school. I remember the first song I ever listened to was Our Song. I have loved Taylor Swift. I sang White Horse at my 7th grade talent show. And I love her. I've gone to all her concerts. It's been so fun to see her grow as an artist. And it's so fun to see how her music has changed. And I think she's fantastic. I think she's a good, human being as well, but I just love her as an artist. I think she's controversial take, but like the best songwriter of our generation for sure. I would definitely fight someone on that. I can't think of anyone else. So yeah, I am a huge fan. I have loved her, and I just feel like she can find a way to connect with anyone, like in any phase of life, even a phase that you might, like us, we're both happily married, but we're going to connect to the breakup songs right now. Oh, you know,
for sure. Like, what was the whole thing for your bachelorette party? Y'all made a video.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. Yeah. I tried during, I got married in 2018. So yeah, it was the beginning of 2018 to make a bachelorette video to get her to come to my bachelorette party. I didn't think she'd actually come, which she didn't, for anyone who's listening, but I just wanted her to see the video. But it got to the point where I was like, I do not want this to be taken too far, but maybe it already had. I was like, I know where she was recording at the time, like the recording studio, and I would call them and be like, hey. And it got to the point where they're like, yeah, we know who you are. I'm like, okay. And I just was,
That's
I was
amazing.
Like,
amazing. Wait, so she probably, they probably told her some part, if they said they knew who you were.
But you know what they probably said is there's this really freaking weird girl who keeps calling, trying to get you to look at this video. But I was like trying to pull out anything, just like anyone who knew her. Grant Mickelson is her old guitarist, and I ended up DMing him back and forth. But he said that they have these like rules where they can't present stuff to Taylor, which makes sense, I guess, for people who work. Now, he wasn't working with her at the time. He had worked with her through like Fearless and Red, but then he was no longer working with her. Anyway, I'm sure they have to sign off on things and be like, we can't, present stuff to Taylor, like a fan wants to meet you or this and that. But we tried, and you know, Daniel got on it too, and a lot of people commented on it. So who knows, maybe she saw it. But that was one of those situations where I was like, okay, I really want to try, but I also don't want to come across as like a freak. And I don't know, maybe I did, maybe I did come across as a creep. Who knows? It used to offend me truly if people didn't like her, which I had to get used to the fact that like not everyone has good taste, you know what I mean? But I had to get used to the fact that like not everyone's gonna love her. But when I was like middle school, high school, I truly was like, I would go to the grave of, no, she's the best, like how could you not like her, you know? And now that I get older, I'm like, okay, people can, you can, you know, whatever, have your own opinion, but you just can't deny how talented she is, you know?
No. And vocally, she's gotten so much stronger over the years, because starting out, that was like the best argument I think people could have made, was her voice isn't like Demi Lovato's voice or Ariana Grande's voice. But the thing is, you have to look at the whole package of the artist. And if it was just their voice, like there's so many people I grew up with that have amazing voices, but it's another level, like another skill set to be able to have a vision for a song, right? She makes everything a story, makes it personal. And then her public persona is also so relatable and down to earth, which is insane considering she's a billionaire.
Right.
Anyways, I could go on and on, but that's
in her performances. I mean, you'll see people who will go to her concerts who aren't really, which I can't get my mind around this, but like people who aren't just diehard Swifties who go to a concert and they're like, that was the best concert of my life. Because she's such a performer. You know, she did theater, which you could probably love that about her. She did theater for a little bit. And so she loves to perform. And so watching her, you know, and she's so dramatic. And I love it. I use that as a positive thing. I'm like, yes, she's dramatic. Yeah. And it's great that she's dramatic. And she, it just makes going to see her live or through a YouTube screen so fun to watch. So fun.
For sure. She thinks of everything. And what I love too is I feel like part of why she has had and will continue to have like such longevity in her career as a female artist, because to be honest, as we know, a lot of like female pop artists, and I guess both genders, they tend to drop off at a certain age. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it is because a lot of them rely on being hot, sexy, to be honest. Yeah. And their actual lyrics and their actual songs don't have a lot of depth or story to them. It's just a catchy bop, and then they look really cool in the video, and then that's it. So then no wonder their career ends up kind of falling or like going downhill once they hit a certain age, because you can't rely on that. But if you rely on actual storytelling, then you can. That's why I think she will go way longer than she even herself thinks she will go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious to know, like, do you think there is an age that she is going to, not because she can't perform, but like if there's an age where you think she's going to stop touring? Like, I can't think of an age where she would stop writing music, but I'm curious if she's ever going to get to a point where she doesn't want to tour anymore.
I know. Well, Beyonce still tours. And how old is Beyonce? I think about Beyonce, and then I will think about that in terms of Taylor Swift. Are you looking it up? I'll look it up.
Beyonce. Okay. Let's see. I'm gonna guess and that she's like 48. Hold on. I'm gonna be so wrong.
I was gonna say 44.
42. Okay.
She's 42.
Yeah, I said 48, not because she looks 48, because she looks amazing. So I like wanted to guess higher because she looks so good that I wanted to be more shocked. But 42, and she's still, and Taylor's 35. She'll be 35, right? She'll be 35, December 14th.
So I think it'll at least be another decade of touring, and then she'll probably.
So another decade of us having a chance of meeting her.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
I also think she's smart because she's starting to get into screenwriting and directing. And I think part of why she's doing that is so that if she ever does, quote unquote, age out of the music industry, she doesn't have to age out of Hollywood, though, because you can direct for however long you want to direct and write. I kind of think that's why she's starting to do that, as well as obviously she's just good at it and wants to do it. But I think she's just such a prepper, and she's so competitive that she's like, I will always have the next thing planned. You're not going to like catch me.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I feel like she's always going to be doing something because she's such a businesswoman on top of everything else that she is. And she's so passionate about what she does. How cool would it be if you were in a music video one day?
I would die. I will literally play a potato. I don't care. I don't care. I will do anything. She can slap me all day long in a video if she needs to. I don't care.
Just stereo.
Like, yes. Okay, let's get to business. Okay. Let's talk about the release of the Tortured Poets Department album. Okay, we both have children. I have a baby. You have two children. How old are your children?
3 and a year and a half.
And we both stayed up for the release. Yes.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I was like, I'm not going to stay up because I get up, you know, you get up multiple times through the night right now, of course, with Rory, but I get up at 6 with the girls I get up before the girls. And I was like, I'm just not going to stay up because I'm going to already be up at 6. And then my body, I was like, I can't go to sleep. My body would not let me. And then by the time I looked, I'm like, it's 11. I have one more hour. And then I ended up staying awake, listening to the whole thing and texting you because you were the only person that I was like, I know Sarah is going to be awake right now. And sure enough, you're like immediately texting me back and we're going through it together. It was so fun.
I was so psycho. I took a cat nap before the release and then I set an alarm on my phone. And Alec actually was like, well, I have some work I could get done, so I'll just stay up. And he listened to some of it with me. And then he went to bed. And then I stayed up. And then I knew some of my friends, other friends had stayed up as well. And we all like knew that she was going to do some kind of surprise at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then she posted a surprise. And we were like, there's a second half of the album coming at 2 a.m. for sure. And I was like, guess it's going to be an all-nighter. And I literally was a psycho. And then at 2 a.m., I like was in our art office, which is really dark. And I was listening to like the Black Dog and stuff. And I was like, like so depressed.
That's so, okay. First of all, you're more dedicated in that regard. I was asleep and woke up the next day. And I think you might have texted me like, OMG, there's a second half. And so when I woke up, I listened to it. But I think I definitely fell asleep before too, because obviously I didn't stay awake for it. But I like the second half of the album so much. But yes, anyway, that is amazing that you stayed awake that long. And the fact that you planned for it by taking a cat nap is amazing.
I'm a psychopath.
No, you're dedicated. And one day when, you know, Taylor listens to this, she'll know that we've had her back since day one, you know?
Oh, she better. And yeah, she will listen to this episode.
Yeah, no, I know, right? I'm like, I promise we're normal.
I know. Okay, but on the album, what were your top, should we do top 3 or top 5?
Oh my gosh. You start. I think we could do top 5 Okay, top 5. You give me your top 5.
Okay, I'm looking at it again.
Yeah, I feel like
I'm going to say Down Bad. But Daddy, I Love Him. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? See, this is hard. So Long in London. Oh, but I love it. Oh, but see, I would.
Frank, do you want to do top 20?
I know. Top 30.
Yeah, top 30, right.
Okay, wait. Shoot. Okay, wait, you go.
It's really freaking hard. And honestly, I feel like I'll say some now. And then if you were to talk to me tomorrow or next week, they would be different. That's the beauty of Taylor Swift, all of her albums. But I feel like when I first listened to the album, the ones that have really stuck with me, I love The Black Dog. And this is not in order of like my favorite, but these are just 5 that I really love. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Okay. Down Bad for sure is, but Daddy, I Love Him. Amen. Really good. And then one that has surprised me that I did not skip, but I listened to and I was like, okay, but that I continue to listen to is Fresh Out the Slammer. I don't know why.
So good.
Yeah. And when I first listened to it, I was like, okay, like it's good, but not one of my favorites. And now it's just fun. I'm always surprised by what I love, but yeah. And I do like, My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys.
That's the thing is I feel like Fresh Out the Slammer for me was one of the ones that the first listen through, that's like what you're saying, the beauty of her albums, there's always a new song that it's like you're listening to it for the first time later, the more you listen to the albums. I love Claire though. Mm-hmm. I love Fresh Out the Slammer.
Because you can relate to Claire Beau, you know, like with your acting career.
Yes,
you
know? And I love that. And I also thought it was funny because this is like so funny, but I love listening to celebrity memoirs. And I was listening to Lauren Graham's most recent one. She plays Lorelai in Gilmore Girls. And I listened to Taylor Swift's explanation of the Claire Beau song and how she says that when she was starting out, everyone in Hollywood would be like, oh, you remind us of so-and-so, but you're so much better than her in this way. Oh, you remind us of, and they would always be disparaging about the female artist that she was being compared to. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was, this is just like a funny side note, but I thought it was funny because Lauren Graham in her memoir, which was obviously written before this album came out, I would think, talked about, she was like, when I was starting out, I kept getting compared to these actresses before me, but they would always say, oh, but you're so much better than her because of this. And it was, I was like, oh, that's exactly what Taylor said happened to her. She wasn't lying.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can see how, from your perspective, that song is really relatable.
Yeah. And, but I also love, I Hate It Here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Guilty as Sin is going to be a single, like, mark my words. It is. People are really loving Guilty as Sin, and I think it's great. That's why at the beginning of the episode I was like, have you heard that some people truly, you know how she says, what if he's written mine upper on my upper thigh, only in my mind? This is what I mean of the fans, that's like, this is too hard. Some fans have actually gotten mine tattooed on their upper thigh. So that's why at the beginning of this podcast I'm like, okay, there's a line of, you know, and I mean, to each their own, I guess, but I cannot do that. I think
Taylor will maybe, if you post it and if you go viral posting it, then she'll maybe like it, and then you have that tattoo there after.
Right. Yeah. I don't really see the goal there. I mean, maybe you just love the song and love the person so much. I don't know. But that would be one of those things where I don't know if I were Taylor Swift, do you think she looks at these things and is like, oh, that's so admirable? Or I wonder if there's a part of her that's like, okay, this is kind of odd.
Yes, I think she thinks it's odd. Because I even remember in one of her documentaries, when that couple got engaged in front of her, do you know what I'm talking about? That moment where she did not look thrilled for that. She was like, oh, this is really happening. Wow.
Yeah, I know. And then there's like, I think the delusional thing about me and you and, you know, anyone is like, so many of our fans think, I feel like we would really be friends. I think that's what everybody says. Cause I tell Daniel, and you know, I'm like, I really feel like we would actually be friends, you know? And Daniel, as much as he supports me, he's like, you know, I think a lot of people think the exact same thing as you. But the delusional thing in my mind is I'm like, I don't want to come across as like crazy. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I want to come across as I'm really supportive of her and I love her music and I'm never going to not listen to her music, which is a whole different can of worms, but I don't want to come across. It's like, there's a line.
Although when we went to LA recently, I did make us go visit her LA house, which was,
I also visited her house in New York. So it's okay.
Oh, we might, if we go to New York next year, we will be taking a little detour, but that's fine. I mean, it's fine. There are levels. I'm not like climbing the fence, you know?
Right. Like, will I stumble across Cornelia Street? Probably. Probably.
It's fine. That's as far as I will go.
It's fine. Okay. You don't cross any boundaries. It's fine.
Okay. Let's get into some fan theories, because those are part of the fun of her albums. Starting with the first song on the album, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fortnite, featuring Mr. Post Malone. First of all, did you like that song?
I did. It was one of those that I like it the more I listen to it.
Same.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think my only like qualm I have is I do wish there was more Posty in it, but people are saying, they're like, well, there's at least more post than there was Lana Del Rey and her song that she did with Lana. Do you agree with that?
I agree 100%. Even like I had a hard time even hearing Lana on that on Snow on the Beach. I'm like, where is she?
Lana said in an interview, I don't know how true this is. I'm like, okay, but really? She was like, oh, I have a talent for or a knack for when I sing with another artist, my voice will naturally start mimicking what their voice is doing. Oh. So she claims, I guess, that part of why you can't hear her that much on the song with Snow on the Beach is because she was singing like Taylor. But I'm like, really? I don't know.
Do you feel, okay, speaking of that though, I feel like Taylor sounds like Lana in some of this album.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
I think, I feel like she's inspired by Lana's style of music, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that's what she's trying to do. One of my friends was like, okay, so why is she allowed to do that and not give Lana credit? But then she asked for credit from Olivia Rodrigo. I do think it's different because it's just like an influence, like to be influenced by an artist. Everyone's influenced by somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we could do an entire podcast episode on the Olivia Rodrigo, Taylor Swift stuff.
Oh, like, for sure.
You're the one who helped open that can of worms with me, and we're totally not even going to do it today, but I'm not kidding you. It could be an entire episode.
I still feel bad for Olivia. I do.
I do too. It's pretty crazy to me.
The grudge is 100% about Taylor Swift. I just think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then didn't you think Lacey was about Sabrina Carpenter?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, that or Taylor. You know?
Yeah.
And then Vampire, right? Vampire's about, which she sang Vampire at the Grammys. And Taylor was in the crowd at the Grammys cheering. And I'm like, is this is so, if it is about Taylor, like how bizarre, like to be, you know?
Oh, and in Vampire, like she mentions it's about a guy, but Olivia, there was an interview where people were asking her if it could be about Taylor. And they were saying how fans have all these theories. And Olivia obviously didn't say who it was about, but she hinted that she was like, that's interesting. It could, you know, my songs could have multiple people that it is about. So it's kind of, I kind of think parts of Vampire were about this guy she dated who was, I guess, a producer and he maybe took advantage of her. And then other parts in that same song could be attributed to Taylor Swift. But then The Grudge, I think, is all about Taylor Swift, especially that lyric that's about that Friday in May or something.
Yes.
That phone call in May.
Right.
Because apparently that's when it all went down, was like the month of May when they had their whole drama regarding her album. Sorry, I know that was a detour, but that was a great thing to bring up because
it's worth it. I mean, trust me, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm the one who's going to have to reel it in too, because I could sit here for 5 hours.
I know. There's just so much to talk about.
Like people aren't going to listen to us for 5 hours, but we can sit and talk for 5 hours if you want.
Also, Olivia Rodrigo, on the day of the release of the Tortured Poets Department album, she was posting other stuff on her story and did not post one thing about the album release, you know? And the whole world was posting about it.
Yeah. I'm just, it's just so sad to me because what does it take to go from being a diehard Swiftie to not even acknowledging anything Taylor Swift does? Like that's something big happened. And I wish I knew all the details. I feel like I know the details, but then there's a part of me that's like, I literally am like, I know what happened. I know everything that happened. But then I'm like, I probably don't know everything that happened, but it does make me really sad. Clearly Olivia was hurt. If she's not, if she's not even acknowledging stuff that Taylor's doing, an album she's putting out, like she's really hurt.
And so. I imagine how sucky it would feel, the most like popular person in America right now or globally.
Yeah.
And most loved, that everyone's like rooting for on her team. She has this whole army, us kind of included in the army, but like we're not psycho. Like we will admit that she does things wrong. Imagine you were hurt by that person and seeing everyone rally around them on every little thing that they do. It was just interesting. That would be hurtful, probably.
I think that, like you said, the Swifties, a lot of people think Swifties in general are like crazy. And I think, like, I don't know. I think there's truth to that in some sense. If you view Taylor Swift as faultless, as if she literally cannot do any wrong when it comes to relationships or friendships, then yeah, you're going to be crazy. If you can't see that throughout the course of any relationship she's had, that there are definitely times where she has done things too, that it's not all on the guy. It's just kind of interesting to me because I still support, you know, we are such huge Swifties. It's insane. I don't know anyone bigger. Like Kate, like my sister, and you know, you and Caitlin who went to the concert with me. I mean, there are people around us who are big Swifties, but generally speaking, I would say there aren't that many Swifties who are as big as Swifties as we are. But I can still sit here and say, like, she's not perfect, you know? Why? So some people, and people going after Joe after the breakup too, I just never felt good about, and I stand by that. I am a fan of Joe Alwyn. It is in writing. I'm saying it publicly. I'm a fan. I mean, I just don't think I don't think he's some terrible guy. I think people were giving him all these death threats, and it's obviously coming out that he was struggling with depression, and it just is really, really messed up how people were at his throat after that breakup. And I'm not convinced, I guess. I'm not convinced that he's some terrible guy.
No. I mean, he didn't take advantage of her fame. That's a sweet thing. The fact that he wanted to be, people are like, yeah, Travis likes to show her off and all these things, and he's proud to be with her. You don't think Joe Alwyn was proud to be with Taylor Swift? Of course he was proud to be with Taylor Swift. It's actually sweet that he was so confident in their relationship or that he didn't want to take advantage of her status and fame and go out everywhere with her. And she could have really done a lot for his career if he was to use that. And I think he didn't want to do that either, you know, like take advantage of her.
He just clearly is a guy who seems like he's introverted and doesn't like the spotlight. And people just ran with that and said he was just controlling her and never let her out and all of these things. And I'm like, she's a 34-year-old woman. If, you know, she's able to, I'm not saying that he's faultless either, but at the same time, I just think the theories that he was some awful guy who just completely hid all of her talents and didn't support her at all is far-fetched.
Oh, I mean, he helped write songs with her for her albums, you know?
Yeah, which apparently we're learning some of those were about Maddie Healy back in Full Forever. I mean, this whole thing, what the heck? What the heck?
Another reason, like that is something, and then we'll get to the Fortnite music video, but that is something that
we're still
talking about how, like, the crazy Swifties who never want to admit things that Taylor does wrong. I'm like, Taylor literally admits in several albums about guys she either cheated on, cheated with, or like wanted to cheat with.
High infidelity, like, you know, like, she doesn't just sit here and say she's faultless, which also makes me mad when people say all she ever writes about is breakups. I'm like, okay, you go listen to her albums. It's not all about breakups. There are so many things that she writes about, but another can of worms. You know what I mean?
Okay. Fortnite music video.
Okay.
There's a huge fan theory. So Post Malone's in that with her. In parts of the video, he has tattoos on his face. Other parts, he doesn't have tattoos on his face. And people think that when he has the tattoos on his face, it represents Maddie Healy, who was her rebound from her breakup with her 6-year relationship to Joe Alwyn, for those who are confused. And then when she doesn't have the tattoo, when Post Malone does not have the tattoos on his face, it supposedly, people think, symbolizes Joe Alwyn. Something that I thought was, I noticed right away, I'm a little proud of myself for this.
Okay, tell me.
When I watched the music video for the very first time with my friends, because we have a tradition, every new Taylor Swift album that comes out, we all listen to it like the night before, and then the evening after, we'll go get milkshakes and drive around town and listen to it, which is fun.
Oh, that's so fun.
I know. And so with that being said, we all went to our friend's house after the drive because we're like, okay, the music video drops at this time. Let's go watch it. We watched it, and then I immediately noticed there's a part where she runs. It's black and white. Well, I guess the whole thing's black and white, but she runs and hugs Post Malone in a sweet way, and he doesn't have tattoos on his face. And I immediately was like, that's how she...
And Miss Americana.
Yes. And okay, I'm not trying to like put myself on a high horse.
Put yourself on the high horse.
I have not seen anyone comment this online yet. And I'm like, you guys, it's so obvious to me. So that was before I never connected the dots between the tattoos myself, that whole theory. Someone else had explained that theory to me. But that was the first thing I immediately noticed. I was like, you guys, that's exactly how they show her run up and hug Joe Alwyn in the Miss Americana documentary. My friends were like, oh, interesting. Okay, so then I rewatched it today right before this interview. And not only do I still think that, but in that moment, he does not have the tattoos on his face, which is supposedly symbolizing Joe. So it even further proves my theory that is why they did that hug.
Yeah, okay. That is so true. I did not think about that until you started talking. I'm like, are we crazy? We're probably crazy. How do we even think like...
You were like a Miss Americana. 37 minutes, 14 seconds into...
Right? Wait, no, you're not. I mean, I totally can see that. I wonder why. Why does he have tattoos and why does he not? And that would make sense. And I'm also wondering why she's hooked up to these machines in the video. What is that? What do you think that's representing?
So that is also goes along with the theory. There's like the theory that, you know, she was basically when she is being unplugged and like freed from all being hooked up and experimented on, he has the tattoos again. So sadly, this makes me sad because Maddie was clearly not a good guy and Joe was. Mm-hmm. It symbolizes that she felt freed by Maddie from being like hooked up and whatever for so long. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the tatted post is the one that unplugs her and saves her essentially. And when she, I know, right? And then when she is attached to the bed and hospitalized, a black dog walks by, which.
Yeah, I do remember seeing that. And I'm like, okay. And of course, the song, The Black Dog, which I didn't know the black dog could reference depression too. I do need to say one thing. So Clara Bow, I looked up Clara Bow and kind of was like, okay, who is she and all this stuff. You know, first the silent film era, she was a really very popular actress. Okay. And people have kind of connected Clara Bow with the music video too, because she went to a psych ward and died alone toward the end of her life. She lost her lover that she had loved for so long, and they put her in like a psych ward because she had tried to kill herself. And so I don't know. People were kind of connecting Taylor being in what looked kind of like, obviously not your day-to-day psych ward, but something kind of like a psych ward with the stuff with Clara Bow. Like all of her albums connect, or the songs connect. And some people were just thinking, does Taylor Swift relate to Clara Bow? Not in the sense of like suicide, but more just losing the love of her life and being so heartbroken by that. And then Clara Bow ended up dying alone, which is super sad. It's really interesting because it's interesting that Taylor chose Clara Bow to write like that. That is the person when you think about Clara Bow's life and all the fame she had, and she had everything, and then she chose to give it up to go and live with her soon to be husband, who she was in love with, and then ended up losing him and just kind of being super, super sad and trying to commit suicide and then ending up in a psych ward. I mean, it's just kind of
crazy. And then that relates to the Who's Afraid of Little Old Me song,
mm-hmm.
where she feels like this leper almost, you know?
Right.
And
don't see where you pulled all her teeth.
Yeah. And then it's probably like about the love and the heartbreak making her crazy, and then also like Hollywood conditioning them to be a certain way, and then they go quote unquote crazy. Yeah. You know? Wow. Yeah. I did not know that. I mean, I knew she was a silent film actor because I also looked it up. but I didn't realize the correlation it had to the music video. See, this is, again, why Taylor Swift is a genius. There are so many layers.
I know. And you have to dig. You have to dig so much. And I just, someone commented on a post about who Clara Bow was. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should fact check all that, because I kind of am going off of this comment to see if that's true. But I did Google her career and stuff. And some people said that she died in the psych ward. Other people said she died back in her home peacefully of a heart attack. So I don't know, but I do know she did go to the psych ward. And it's just interesting because Taylor could pick anyone, like, but she picked Clara Bow for a reason. Right. So what the reason is, there probably could be a million that, you know, we could try to decide on. So it's just, it's interesting. And yes, they all tie in. And then someone said that the music video looks like one of Maddie Healy's music videos, one of his old music videos.
Oh my word. Oh, another big thing about the music video too is, I guess Maddie Healy always talked about how he loves to use like a typewriter to write his songs, which is so pretentious. but there's like a close up in the music video of the typewriter, and it has numbers and it misses the number one.
Mm.
And
the one.
Yes. Yes.
What?
Yes, she's crazy.
People who don't listen to Taylor Swift are gonna be like, what does this mean? She missed the one. I'm like, guys, it means Joe Alwyn. She's supposed to be, you know.
Yes. Okay. For those who don't understand, she has a song called The One. Was that Folklore or Evermore album?
Folklore.
Okay. And, you know, like the song is about having a love of your life and all of those things, but then like losing that love mm-hmm. of your life. And then, so the fact that she's on this typewriter that totally symbolizes Maddie, and then the number one is gone. Hence,
okay,
Joe,
well,
being gone.
Oh my God, is it about Maddie then? Because people are saying, okay, I don't want to think the one is about Maddie, but people have thought that the one are now saying that so many of the stuff. Because when she said, okay, in Guilty of Sin, she says, I keep these longings locked in lowercase inside a vault. Okay. Folklore, Evermore are all lowercase, songs. And so I'm like, I know. And so I'm like, okay, so you remember when those albums came out and she said that they're not really all written about her. You know, she likes to write about other things. But now I'm second guessing, and people are second guessing, were some of these songs about Maddie Healy? You know, and are there, that's a question that someone asked me. Shout out to my younger sister. She's saying like, do you think Taylor will come out with vault songs about Maddie Healy from Folklore because of the line in Guilty of Sin about the longings being locked inside a vault, which would be, I don't know. I don't think she's going to come out with vault songs from Folklore and Evermore because she didn't have to reclaim her name during that time. But I am wondering what the heck, doesn't think that Joe and Taylor actually dated that full time, which we don't agree, but I can respect her opinion. But it is kind of interesting to me that, so, you know, Taylor and Maddie dated in 2014.
Yeah.
You know this. Yeah. Okay. And so obviously, I don't know if she was thinking of him, you know, while she was dating Joe, and if there was any emotional cheating going on. I don't know, but it would kind of fit the narrative if some of those songs from Folklore and Evermore were about Maddie Healy. But it's interesting to me that Joe helped her write some of the songs, because I'm like, does he have any idea? You know, I don't know. I think that Maddie, okay, at the end of the day, I think Maddie Healy was a bigger deal to Taylor Swift than we thought. Thought this was a rebound relationship that I didn't even think of the fact that they dated in 2014, because it wasn't some huge thing. Like, that was brief as well. And now, she just wrote what I thought would be an entire album about Joe, essentially about Maddie Healy, which I was not expecting at all. And I feel like there's no denying that the majority of these songs are about Maddie Healy. Also, in the song Love of My Life, which I feel like is about Joe, people are saying that's Maddie, but I'm like, you know why I think it's about Joe is because she says, you stand up guy. Maddie Healy is not a stand up guy. And so I literally think it's about Joe. And it is the it's such a sad song. It's just such a sad song. I can't see it being about Maddie, but a decent amount of people are saying that it's also about Maddie. But even if I'm wrong in DeLulu, I'm gonna be DeLulu and say it's about Joe, because that song in You're the Loss of My Life at the very end. Are you kidding? I don't think Maddie Healy is the loss of her life.
No, that's for sure about Joe. I get annoyed when people, and then there's the line, Mr. Steal Your Girl, which Joe technically was a Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Right, getaway car was Tom Hiddleston. Okay, that's a whole different.
But I guess people would probably argue that Maddie was kind of a Mr. Steal Your Girl from Joe. But the thing is that their relationship, it seems like, had already ended, like was going to end regardless.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she intentionally kind of makes you wonder, could this be about Joe? Could this be about Maddie? Like you said, I think you mentioned that, like Lydia was talking to you about that, of there's so much overlap in a lot of the songs to where you're wondering, okay, could this be about, because at first I thought My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys could be about Joe, but it's definitely Maddie the more I listen to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it could be about Joe. I mean, there are a couple of songs though that I for sure, but Daddy I Love Him, Maddie Healy.
Oh, for sure. I think the Black Dog, a lot of people go back and forth on that one. I'm looking up the lyrics again, but I think that one's about Joe.
Me too. And I think we're unpopular in that, because I kind of view the Black Dog also as a term toward like depression, which makes me think of Joe, but it's in the song meant to be like a pub or something. I don't know. And then when she says, and she jumps up, but she's too young to know this song, I'm like, okay, that could be Maddie-ish. But again, I think that's where she's trying to kind of not be obvious.
Yeah. And
but did she share her location with Maddie Healy? You know?
Right.
For 6 weeks, like, I don't know.
Also, there was a pub in London that basically pretty much confirmed that Joe Alwyn was a regular there. And then... And that same pub, like Taylor Swift had been spotted at in the past with Joe. Yeah. Then when I read that, I was like, it's done. It's Joe.
I have to tell myself the ones that are my favorites, like the saddest ones, have to be about Joe. Right. Which apparently he's dating, but that's a whole different. Apparently I just read this yesterday that he's back in the dating world. I don't know who, but yeah. He is. And people are saying, oh, he never cared about her. I'm like, dude, what? Taylor has dated two men since they broke up. And y'all aren't saying that she never cared about him. So why are we doing
this? Very publicly.
Right. Right. Right.
I totally underestimated how much she loved Maddie. So I'm wondering, I think she does have a lot of fun with Travis and really, really likes him. But part of me is like, she's not over Maddie Healy. Because I'm like, I mean, she wrote these songs not super recently. So maybe she really is over it by now. You never know. But I just wonder if Maddie started inching his way back to her, what she would do.
Yeah.
You know,
well, right. Yeah. I mean, and apparently he's dating someone, Maddie is dating someone. Okay. But I know, I don't know the answer to that, because I literally would not have thought that he had her so in love. I remember listening to some people, have you heard the theory that But Daddy I Love Him is toward the fans? And basically she's like, shut up caring so much about my love life.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. So funny. But I'm like, look, if I have some like a friend who is dating someone who is like not it, I'm gonna wonder. But she's not our friend. So I don't know why I care. But it was a shock when she started dating him. But I guess, I don't know. You could be right, because she seemed clearly to be super in love with him, or even the idea of him. Like she dated him 10 years ago and then dated him again. And I wonder if this time where she was going through rough patches with Joe, she was kind of fantasizing about Maddie, AKA Guilty as Sin, about how good things could be. And then when they finally got back together, she maybe thought this could be it. And then it wasn't, which like totally broke her heart, you know? Which I don't know.
Cheating is like that. Not to get off track, but I just read a book all about like cheating and the guy. I was psycho about it. It's a married couple. They ended up staying together. But she talks about how when she had this ongoing affair on and off for years with this other man. And she always thought the grass was going to be greener. And then when she finally moved in with him, she didn't understand why she felt darkness is what the word she used. Mm. And it's because you just like romanticize it all in your head.
Yeah.
I assume. And then it turns out, it's because I also think she had never had a relationship last as long as she did with Joe, because they dated for 6 years, and right. she missed the excitement, because she's always like in a new exciting relationship, you know?
Yeah. Well, when things got rocky, because like if you're with somebody for 6 years, you're gonna have times that are really hard, and maybe she, just wondered about what would it be like with someone different, aka Maddie.
Yeah.
So I didn't think about any. I was not expecting this album to be so much about him, you know.
I know.
And I'm with you when the paparazzi asked Maddie Healy what he thought of the album, and he was like, "Oh, I haven't listened to it." I'm like, "Okay, yes, you have. Is the Pope Catholic? Yes, you have listened to this. Do not even."
There's no way.
It was a great answer, and it was a very PR appropriate answer. Yeah. But it was not true. There's no way he has not listened to The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
Well, and he acted confused. I'm like, you're not confused about this album. Come on. I mean, his aunt was interviewed about the album, and she said she was like mad for him and like got defensive over him. I'm like, if your aunt knows about the song, you know about the song, honey. Just,
yeah.
Like, come on.
I know
we have children, so I'll ask a final two questions to wrap up, and one day we'll have to come back and discuss Olivia Rodrigo in depth, like that whole thing, because there's so much we could say, but I know we have little kitties.
Yeah.
So I will wrap up. Last two things. First, do you think Taylor and Travis will get married? What does your gut say?
Oh my gosh. I think they could, but I don't think that they're going to last the rest of her life. Like,
kind of.
Could they get married? Yes. Are they going to last forever? No, I don't think so. He's so different than her type. And I also think Taylor is so incredibly, incredibly smart. And all of these videos of Travis Kelce, like, Viva Las Vegas, like, he doesn't seem necessarily like the brightest crown on the box. He might be a really sweet golden retriever guy. And, you know, I think that's great. And he, you know, I think he's a good guy, but I don't think. I thought Joe was the one, and I was wrong. So I could be very wrong. But I think eventually Taylor is not going to be, I think she's actually going to be the one who loses interest in him.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that. Or she'll get, there'll be a shiny new thing. Also, when you're that level of fame, when you have that level of fame, especially both of them in different ways, the temptation that they're going to be faced with like every single day. Is astounding, you know?
Yes.
Astounding.
Well, apparently he cheated in the past, which is not, I'm not a fan. Like his ex-girlfriend came out and said he did cheat on her. Granted, that was like 5 years ago, but I am so not fan of, I don't care if you've cheated in your past. That is not something I messed with. So I feel like I don't like that, but I think he's a good guy. I'm not like, I don't think he's some bad guy. I think he's nice and fun and great for the time. But I don't think when you're thinking of spending a life with somebody, I don't see the two of them lasting forever.
Yeah. And like, I love that he seems to be more of a family guy than most guys she's ever dated. He like loves his niece. That's my favorite thing about him. And he's really fun. But also she has clearly cheated on people too. So the fact that they both have done that doesn't really, it's not great ingredients for a healthy, long-lasting merit.
Or whatever. Totally.
Okay. And then the last question to wrap up. When do we think Reputation, Taylor's version, will come out?
Oh my gosh. I truly have no idea except to say I think it will happen in the first half of this year. That is not, that's so vague. It's not very specific. But I don't yeah. have a date. Do you have a date in mind?
I don't know. I definitely think fall.
Oh, you think the second? Okay. Yeah.
I want to say fall just because I think she likes to every few months have a new thing to keep her, I say keep her relevant. Obviously she's relevant without it, but you know what I'm saying? To keep the, mm-hmm. she's on a career high of highs. So she's really smart about how, when she releases things. So, yeah. You know, she'll go back to her Eras tour soon. I don't remember when. Okay. And then
she's not in the US.
Whatever, like she just released an album. She'll be riding the high of that for at least a few more months. And then when people start to like slow down from the album, the high of the album, maybe in the fall, then she has another thing to release. Then that takes her into Christmas, the holidays. And then,
yeah,
you know,
that would make a lot of sense. That would,
but I could be so wrong because she's chaotic. Sometimes she just releases many things at once just to give it to us.
Maybe she'll announce the first half and release the second half. And then we're both right.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. I honestly can't wait. She's going to come out with some added diss tracks.
Yeah, I loved Reputation. It was my favorite concert of hers.
Oh, I didn't get to go. I'm so sad.
It's no, but Eras covered Reputation. Like there was Reputation yeah. in Eras. So yes. Eras was absolutely incredible. Which
yes.
I'm so glad we were both there the same night.
That
is the way to conclude this, is that we were both at the Eras tour on the same night.
Amen.
Amazing.
Amen.
So amazing.
Truth be told, hallelujah. Yes. Ivy, mm-hmm. I took an hour of your day. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. I know you have a million other things to do and you have literal children and you're hiding in your closet for this. So thank you for joining. Thank you to Daniel. Tell him I really appreciate him.
Oh, okay.
And
I will.
I can't wait to start editing this. And people are going to love you. So we'll stay tuned. There will be a part two one day. And you'll have to come back on the episode, on the podcast to talk about.
I'll have to write bullet points because there's just so many things we could talk about, you know. But I'm so thankful that you let me be on it. And I'm so glad that we got to talk about this. It was so fun. It was so fun.
Thank you. Thank you. And I love you, Ivy. Have a great rest of your Saturday, my girl.
Thank you, girl. You too.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Stay at Home Actor Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please, 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 please go like, review, rate the podcast. I would absolutely love it if you shared it on social media, tagged us on Instagram. I say us, tagged me on Instagram because I literally do not have any team whatsoever. My Instagram name is The Stay at Home Actor Pod. I appreciate you so, so much for listening. Share it with a friend. Like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever people are telling people to do for these things. And I will see you next time.